damaging stereotypes of business aviation. The fight goes on. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Ed Bolin, who is President and CEO of the National Business Aviation Association. We're here to talk about a couple of things, but this conversation is prompted primarily by the Reason Foundation's Robert Poole and comments he made in his recent newsletter. And Ed, first, thanks for taking some time out and welcome in.
Sure. Thank you.
Let me read specifically what Bob Poole said in his newsletter. And, we had a subsequent conversation where I tried to get some clarification because it sounded a little like a non sequitur to me. But I want to let you respond as well. Bob started talking about the image of general aviation and specifically business aviation taking a hit lately, and his contention was, quote, supporting the $25 next-gen fee would be a symbolically important step for NBAA and other business aviation advocates. It would make tangible their claim that business aviation is not a luxury, but a necessity. Now, I had a little trouble with that and wanted to talk to Bob about it because I didn't really see the connection. I think you have some deeper issues with it.
Well, I have a lot of issues. First of all, Bob Poole is not interested in promoting a positive image of business aviation in the United States. Bob talked about in his interview with you the big airlines running advertisements, and his term was to demonize business aviation. And he certainly did not come to anybody's defense during that demonization. So I don't think Bob is calling you out of concern about the image of business aviation. What Bob is doing is 30 years ago, Bob created the Reason Foundation, which is dedicated toward privatizing government operations. And throughout that period of time, Bob has advocated privatization of air traffic control. And more recently, he uses a term, commercialization, which is largely a distinction without a difference. But Bob is about user fees funding a commercialized, privatized air traffic control system. And that has been what he has been promoting for years. He's constantly looking for a way to try to make that relevant. I think this is just his latest attempt to try to revive an idea that was fully debated in the last Congress. And ultimately, a bill passed the House of Representatives that funded NextGen, promoted the next generation air traffic control system by building on the proven and effective fuel taxes. A similar bill was brought to the floor of the U.S. Senate. It ultimately did not pass, but that had nothing to do with FAA funding or NextGen funding. It had to do with a lot of non-related issues. The bottom line is the user fee idea, the commercialization of the air traffic control system, is an issue that has been vetted. It has been debated. Congress has consistently rejected it. Bob consistently tries to revive it.
Well, in fairness to what Reason Foundation is about, I mean, Bob's baby is transportation issues, obviously, but the overall point of view at least is not inconsistent with what they are pushing for. And I think there are a lot of people who, in general, if you get them outside their personal interests, are fans of the idea that, that the costs of any activity that's provided for us, in society should be paid for as directly as possible by the people who use that. And that if there are benefits to society from that activity, they should be paid for by passing through the costs of conducting that activity, not necessarily out of the general fund.
Well, to be clear on that, the general aviation community does pay for its use of the air traffic control system. It pays for that through a fuel tax, which the more you use, the more fuel you burn. It's directly related to the use of the system. In the private air traffic control models that Bob is always promoting, they charge a user fee that is based on a formula that is aircraft weight times distance flown. In the U.S., we use a fuel tax on general aviation. And what is it that determines a plane's rate of fuel burn? It is largely determined by the aircraft weight and the distance flown. It is a very elegant proxy for use of the system. The general fund contribution that has always been part of our nation's air policy is reflected on the fact that everyone in the United States every day benefits by having a strong, healthy, robust air transportation system, whether they get on an airplane or not. We all benefit. The taxi drivers that line up at National Airport benefit. The hotels benefit. The restaurants benefit. The tourism industry benefits. The businesses trying to be competitive benefit. Everybody benefits whether they get on the airplane or not. And that has been the primary reason why we have always had a modest general fund contribution helping to support our air transportation system. It is a fundamental belief that air transportation in the United States creates a public benefit, and that public benefit should be reflected somewhere.
How do you think this is going to go in the new administration and Congress? Obviously, there's been some change in the makeup of it. The Obama administration seems, at least so far, as intent as the Bush administration was on pushing user fees, at least a first step down the slope. Do you have any kind of update or read on how this will go, especially with some of the new announcements in terms of leadership at the FAA?
No, I don't think we have seen any proposals by the new administration. I think what we are seeing both on Capitol Hill and from the administration are talking points that suggest that the next generation air traffic control system is important and should be a national priority. Certainly, everyone in general aviation has supported that as well. And I think that the fact of the matter is the general aviation community is the only segment of the air transportation system that said, we believe so intently in next gen, we will pay additional revenues into the system to help fund it. Going back to some of the comments that were made by Bob Poole, it suggested that the general aviation community was not supporting NextGen could not be further from the truth. We said we would support NextGen. We were very supportive of the goals of the program, of the technology itself, and we were the only group that said, not only that, we will help pay for it. We wanted to pay through the general aviation fuel taxes. That's the point we made, and I think most people on Congress appreciated that very much.
Let me ask you, Ed, a little bit about your job these days, because it seems as though what I see of you in the media, it reminds me of a volunteer fireman. And, you know, every time somebody lights a fire somewhere, a bell goes off in Dan Hubbard's office and, oh, gosh, we got to get Ed on that. Are you stretched a little thin these days fighting all this stuff?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that the rest of the business aviation community is coming forward in a fundamental way. We're beginning to see that people outside of the industry are standing up. We've had senators go to the floor of Congress, floor of the Senate, and talk about the importance of business aviation to our nation's economy and air transportation system. We've had business commentators who have talked about it. So I think over the course of the past 6 months, NBAA rung the bell, said business aviation is essential to our nation. We've articulated some of those reasons, and what we're beginning to see is that is beginning to take hold, that people are beginning to recognize it and say, wait a minute, there's been a stereotype promoted that doesn't match the reality of business aviation in the United States. The reality is business aviation is a tremendous jobs generator. It's a lifeline to communities with little or no commercial airline service. It helps our companies be efficient and productive, and it flies a lot of humanitarian flights and emergency relief efforts, including those this week up in North Dakota. And what we begin to see as we've talked about the value of business aviation is more and more commentators are taking notice and saying, you're right, the stereotype was unfounded, we've gone too far, let's push back on that a little bit.
Well, Ed, when we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit about the JetBlue campaign recently that NBAA definitely pushed back against. My guest is Ed Bolin of the National Business Aviation Association. We'll be back for more with Ed in a moment. I'm Paul Flack, and this is a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Ed Bolin, President and CEO of the National Business Aviation Association. And Ed, NBAA jumped out on JetBlue for their online viral ads that made fun of CEOs in leather chairs. And they showed a very obviously socially awkward situation where a CEO was portrayed as going through an airport and security line for the first time. And I laughed at that. Maybe I'm far enough outside the bullseye of business aviation to not have taken as much offense to that. NBAA apparently felt that this was particularly damaging.
Well, let's be clear. 2 years ago, the big airlines trade association spent several millions of dollars running ads that, as Bob Poole said, were designed to demonize business aviation in the United States. So we have seen a long history of the big airlines running advertisements on city buses in Washington, D.C., at metro stops, on the air, at airports, on CNN Airport Network, all designed to demonize business aviation. What we see from JetBlue in their ads is a company that goes to a handful of the biggest cities, suggesting that they are an alternative to business aviation in the United States, which serves 5,000 communities. So it was not something that we took lightly. And frankly, it was not something that our members took lightly. We had lots of people contacting us from all over the country who saw that, who were upset about it, who recognized that what was at stake was their jobs, their image, and all that they have put their careers into. And so I think it was a significant issue, and I think it deserves some pushback.
You know, the term viral advertising, I think, is abused in some cases. I think a lot of advertising attempts to be viral, but nobody catches the cold is the analogy I use. In other words, some things are put up on the internet with the hope that people will discover them and pass them on by word of mouth. And I have to ask you, you have some direct experience in this because the GA advocacy groups have used ads that were posted on websites and not widely distributed in the general media. How effective are these things and how effective can they be?
Well, I'm not sure what you're talking about when you talk about things just being done virally. The NBAA and GAMA have joined in a partnership called No Plane, No Gain. And we have a 30-second ad that we have run on national television this week with George Stephanopoulos. It's been on Sunday Fox News Network. It has been run in Washington, D.C. on cable channels, CNN, Fox, CNBC, MSNBC. We also have print ads that we have run in the Wall Street Journal, in USA Today, and an ad coming up in another business publication that's national. So the No Plane, No Gain advertisements have very much relied on national and Washington, D.C. advertising. And there is a viral component to it as well, where we are working on Google Alerts and other things. But the No Plane, No Gain program, which is related to the image of business aviation in the United States, is very much a blended impressions campaign that uses new media and old media to try to get the message out that business aviation is essential to our air traffic system, of course, but also to our nation's economy.
I wasn't speaking specifically of no plane, no gain. I know that the Alliance for Aviation Across America and some of the other organizations have done things that were primarily an online campaign. And I guess my specific question I was trying to get to was JetBlue's campaign going to be effective? Because they apparently did not put this anywhere other than the internet.
Well, most of the people in our community saw it on Good Morning America and on other national programs. It was something that they ran virally, but then used a PR firm to get them to have spokespeople who would talk on national television programs. So it was featured on four or five national programs, and they have followed it up with radio ads here in Washington, D.C. So it may have been something that was created online, but a lot of work was done by the company and their PR consultants to make sure that it appeared on national television, perhaps as what is known as earned media rather than paid media. But those ads were run on national television programs.
Okay. Well, then it started virally and became an epidemic.
That could be.
I understand your concern then in that case. Well, Ed, just briefly, last question, looking forward, what are the big challenges on your plate? Any specifics in the next few months, especially as regards the relationship with the government and the user fee and LASP fight?
Well, I think that we will be very active on promoting Next Gen and pushing to get an FAA reauthorization bill. We will try to make sure that people understand the real facts about that. And including the fact that the general aviation community was the group that stepped forward and put their money where their mouth was in promoting Next Gen and didn't just use it as an opportunity to push for privatization or a tax cut. In terms of the other big issue that you mentioned, we obviously have the large aircraft security program. The comment period on that closed on February 27th. We continue to try to reach out to the TSA, and work with them so that, we can have a rule that will, harden general aviation security, promote general aviation security, but also promote, the mobility of, American citizens. So, that continues to be a front burner issue for us. And we will continue to try to promote a positive image of general aviation and business aviation in the United States. Fortunately, in that area, we begin to see that that we're having people outside of our community stand up and take notice. And so for those senators and congressmen who have made statements and other commentators who have spoken out on this issue, we're grateful for that support.
Well, Ed, you've got a tough year ahead, but looking on the bright side, you've got job security.
Let's get some of these issues resolved. And I think a growing, healthy general aviation industry in the United States and a strong business aviation industry in the United States is the best job security any American can have.
Well, Ed, again, thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, take care.
Ed Bolin is president and CEO of the National Business Aviation Association. You can find out more online about the organization at www.nbaa.org. And you've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.